It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, this show is brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. Bill, how's it going, my friend?
It's going great. Good morning, War Eagle. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and we do. We've got a lot to talk about with Auburn. You know, we'll go over the game recap because it's a pretty – the word I used before we went live was conflicting game as far as the takeaways. There was some positives. There was some negatives, a pretty fair balance. But it's nonetheless a convincing loss for the Tigers here. But we do have a lot to dig into, not just in Auburn football, but just another Auburn athletics and other football stories going on around the SEC because Auburn's on a bye. Well, I do want to give a disclaimer there. If you're expecting us to dig deep into this game that's upcoming, there isn't one. But we'll talk about what Auburn should do during this bye week and who they have coming up after that in just a little bit. But right now, I'm going to give you the floor. What did you take away from this game? First impressions.
First impressions, the first half, a lot of improvement. I saw a lot of things change that made sense. The running game was a little bit more involved. Peyton was really accurate with the passes that he made.
Yep.
And he didn't throw the ball away, and he didn't fumble, and he did scramble. He used his feet. We've got him down for 13 carries. That includes the sacks. He did get sacked a few times. Unfortunately, that does go against his yardage, plus or minus. It's considered a ball carry. But the big mistakes were minimalized. I mean, We didn't have very many penalties. We didn't turn the ball over. It didn't look like a panic-type situation. It was very encouraging to see the improvement as each series went. We just couldn't keep up on the scoreboard. I mean, we got, you know, they scored first. So we were behind from the beginning. First possession in the third quarter, we score a touchdown to keep it within one score. It was 13-10 at that point, or 14-10 at that point. And then I don't know if it was a conditioning thing or their players were better than ours. And I really think that probably is the truth. The way they played football and the way we expected them to play, our defense really did a great job considering who they were playing and where they were playing. I mean, you make Georgia punt the ball five times. you've got a defense that's playing hard, and yeah, they're trying their best to keep you in the ball game. We just still couldn't figure out the solution to the offensive problems.
Yeah, you and I discussed the offense, and the way we summarized it was it was good. It just wasn't really explosive. As you said, Thorne, 222 total yards, threw no touchdowns. Of course, that leaves a little bit to be desired. But as you said, one step at a time, especially against a team of this caliber on the defensive side, no turnovers. You only had not even 50 less yards. Georgia had 381 to your 337. You only had three less first downs. Only had the ball for about three less minutes. So it was a very competitive game on the stat sheet. And Auburn, yes, was far better disciplined. You only had two less penalties, but it was for 60 less yards.
Well, that to me is a big improvement. That means the mistakes are – the kids are playing mistake-free football.
Yes.
And you're going to – that's a great foundation to build for on the rest of the season.
Right.
Now that you can – you know you can play without making mistakes. Now you got to figure out how to put the other pieces of the puzzle together with your skill players so that you can score points. We did have one blocked field goal. It was a long attempt, 40-plus yards. But the kicking game improved. We were 2 out of 3 on field goals.
Yeah. And the field goals, you know, the ones that he made, first of all, Towns McGuff, or however you say his
Magoo.
Last name. Magoo, yeah. That's – yeah. regardless of how you say his last name, he did make the field goals that he was supposed to make, 27, 26. We're talking chip shot field goals here for especially an SEC kicker. As you said, long field goal blocked. It's whatever, you know. I think the main problem that I took away from the kicking was that if he's having to resort to making multiple field goals within 30 yards, that brings us back to the offense that you were talking about. It wasn't bad, but in the red zone, it's got to be able to complete a drive if you want any chance of beating a team like Georgia.
You're going to have to score more more than 50% of your scores are going to need to be touchdowns if you're inside the red zone.
Right.
In this league, to be competitive and possibly keep your team in a position to win the game, you got to have a better than 50% touchdown to field goal ratio in the red zone, especially when you drive the ball to the 10-yard line or even inside the 10, between the 10 and the field and the goal line.
Right.
That's where we turn the ball over a couple of times in the games where we had the big turnovers.
Right.
The two blocked field goals now, counting the one with Georgia, even though it was a long one, we did make the short chip shots. And then we did go for fourth and one, and it looked like a busted play from my point of view, and I watched the replay on it a couple of times, and there's been a lot of discussion among the Auburn football chat groups about, did Thornton change the play at the line of scrimmage? Did he call the wrong play? Did he forget what the play was? And, you know, they had that discussion with the coach in his press conferences, and he said what he called. He identified the play that he called, and Peyton said he did not change the call, but it didn't – obviously, the coach wasn't happy with it because it was not the play that he called.
Right.
So, and I'm not saying that they're throwing either one of them under the bus. I think there's just genuine disagreement between the two as to what the play call was and what was attempted to be executed on the field. It ended up being a 4-yard loss. But that seems to be the biggest chatter among the Auburn folks for this last week was it a missed call? Was it a blown call by the quarterback, or was it a missed call by the coach? You know, what was the disagreement? What was the disconnect there? I'm not going to say the Georgia loss, you can pin it on a single play.
I agree.
So I don't want to burn too many calories trying to figure that one play out and identify what the problem was.
Yeah, don't break a sweat now.
Yeah. Now I'm sure they've figured it out on their own. They may not be disclosing it publicly, but they figured it out. The good thing is all the things that I'm hearing coming out from the people that I know that would be in the know is that there's still a lot of continuity among the players. There's a lot of confidence in their leaders. And there's a lot of confidence in their game planning and their coaching staff. So I don't think any of the negative chatter that's occurring outside of the program is really affecting the players and the way the coaches and the players interact with each other. We'll see how it rolls out. Now you've got 2 weeks to prepare for your next opponent. But I have opinions on what they should be doing right now and how they should be approaching this game, and I kind of hope to see it. You and I had talked about it, and we can talk about it in the next segment or the end of this segment.
We'll certainly talk about that, because that's going to be a big — there's a lot that rides on a bye week. People just look at it as, you know, oh darn, no football for a week, you know, if it's your favorite team that's on the bye. But there is a lot of strategy that goes into the placement of them and what you do during them. So yes, we'll absolutely touch on that. One of the main things I took away from what you just said there was the leaders on the team maintaining continuity, maintaining confidence, so on and so forth. I absolutely agree with that. I don't think this is – I think this is your first loss of the season, to be honest, where you were not in a position where, dead gummit, we should have won. Oklahoma, you should have won. You let them score the last 17 through a pick six. Cal, Arkansas, turnover city, right? And you lost those games still by 10 points or less. So those were games where you're going to be sitting there thinking, man, what could have been? This game – you gave them trouble over halfway through. It was only 14-10 well into the third quarter. So it was a competitive game at Georgia. You ended up losing by 3 possessions. So it wasn't a matter of, as you said, oh, one play or oh, one mistake or 2 mistakes. No, Georgia's just a darn good team. I do think there's a lot of positivity to take away from this game, especially when you look at – while Peyton Thorne's performance was well-disciplined as far as ball control, while it didn't really shine – Jarquez Hunter absolutely did. He was the team MVP.
He had a fantastic football game.
Yeah, he rushed for 91 yards in Auburn's sole touchdown on 13 carries. So he was averaging 7 yards.
Yeah, he's having a great season.
Yes, and then we've got Keandre Lambert-Smith, or KLS as you call him, and Malcolm Simmons. They were a lethal pairing on the receiving end. They each averaged over 11 yards on four or more catches. They combined for 11 catches, 141 yards. So there's – we always think about Auburn's defense, and it gave Georgia a scare. But offensively, there is some magic there. So it's hopefully as we head into this bye week. Yeah,
those two receivers accounted for three-quarters of the passing yards.
Right.
Because we had 16 to 27 passing for 200 yards, and those two – receivers accounted for over 150 yards of that.
Yeah.
So the skill players are stepping up. I'm seeing improvement. I like what I see. It's just they were a better football team.
Right.
And I don't think we played bad. I'm really happy with the way the defense has been playing all year, because they're the ones that have kept us in the games that we have been in spite of all the turnovers. But to hold Georgia on five possessions and make them punt at home.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. I mean, that is defensive production.
Yes. And we were talking about how we're going to be talking about what's to come over the bye week. And, you know, we'll talk about in our next segment, we'll talk about Mizzou, because that's the team that's coming up, and we're not going to spend too much time on them. Going to go ahead and warn you now because, you know, We'll talk about them next week. Yeah, we don't want to be repeating ourselves for the next hour a week from now. But, yeah, I think rushing attack from Jarquez Hunter and the defense on Auburn's side are really going to come in handy there. But, you know, Auburn, this is their third straight loss, but I think this is about as positive of a note in those circumstances. This is about as positive – my goodness, can I speak, please? This is about as positive of a note that you can go into a bye week on after three consecutive losses. Like as you said, the visible improvement on the offensive side, playing a team like Georgia the way that you did, and you know, Georgia, you have to consider this is a rivalry game. They were at home. They were going to be out for blood after the Bama loss. They're trying to get back on track. So no one can really be flabbergasted that Georgia won the game.
No, it was a bounce back game for them.
Yeah, and you know it. While maybe by the end of the season they're not going to be hoisting this up saying, hey, we beat Auburn, you know, while they may not be doing that, it, as you said, emotionally, they really needed this one. So it doesn't surprise me that they ended up balling out a little bit. But, yeah, so Auburn, I'll go ahead and we can talk more about this because we're getting towards the end of this segment, but we still got some time. So I'll crack this open now. Auburn, what do you think they should look at going into this bye week? And then I'll give you my thoughts later on.
I think use this bye week to play your future. And what I mean by that is take all the kids that are there that have been to all the practices that are your third or fourth option at their position and practice them up this week.
Right.
And give them an opportunity to see what they can do. There's no reason we shouldn't be accelerating the development of the younger kids there, even in spite of the performances out of a lot of the skill players. Bring those kids into the fold this week, get them practiced up, and if we have the opportunity to do it, throw the kitchen sink out there on the field the next game.
See what it can do.
let them go. There's nothing to lose. Approach this game for what it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing to lose.
Right.
I'm sure we're probably going to be a dog with it being a Missouri home game and they're ranked.
Yeah, especially with it being at Missouri.
Yeah, take advantage of that. Put all your players out there that want to give them that opportunity to shine and develop.
No, I agree with you 100%. And I jotted down some stuff here about just some of the general topics that you can hit on during this bye week, and I'll touch on those after the break because we're coming up on our time here. But I didn't think about that at all, but really, I agree with it 100%. Because, once again, I think the way I said it to you earlier was, it's not like Auburn's fighting for a playoff spot here. If you give these guys an opportunity to show them what they're made of, you know, and grow as a team going forward, maybe then we can start talking about you making a playoff push in the next season or two. Alrighty, you've been listening to War Eagle Weekly. I say that as if the show's over. We're just getting started. Right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. And, of course, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Forest Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text Sizzle to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text SIZZLE to 42424. That's Sizzle to 42424.
Hey, it's Flint Lockwood here from Swallow Falls. My friends and I have just discovered these amazing living foodimals. But wait, we've also discovered a crisis that needs our help. According to my calculations, 1 in 5 kids in America struggles with hunger. That's almost 17 million kids. Our mission is to help solve hunger by teaming up with the Feeding America Network to get food to kids facing hunger in communities across the country.
Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks, helping connect children and families who face hunger to billions of pounds of food, reaching shelters, schools, and community centers in every county in America, including yours. Help Flint and the Feeding America network of food banks get food to the people who need it in your community. Find your local Feeding America food bank at feedingamerica.org/hunger.
Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you looking for a place to feed your passion for singing and connect with other young people who love to perform? Then come join us at the Pensacola Children's Chorus. For as little as $15 a month, any child in grades 1 through 12 can come and discover the magic of music. No prior experience is necessary. Whether the stage is your second home or you're a total beginner, there's a place for you in the choir. For details on how to join, visit us online at pensacolasings.org.
Children, senior citizens, and families right here in Northwest Florida are hungry. And for more than 40 years, Mana Food Bank has provided food assistance to neighbors in need. Mana distributes healthy groceries through its emergency food assistance pantry, plus 17 food security programs with 22 community partners. For more information, please visit manahelps.org or call 850-432-2053. Mana, moving our neighbors in need from hunger to hope.
Your favorite sports with a local flair.
Would it not be great to have an Ohio State-Alabama game? Would that not be fun to see? It would be great to see these two conferences play each other a lot more, and it looks like that is what they're working towards.
On the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass.
I really do think that Billy Napier is going to be the first guy let go, and I think after the Kentucky game is a very real possibility.
Tune into the Glass Half Full weekday mornings from 9 till 10 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
The Rich Eisen Show, on weekdays after Greeny, 11 to 2, on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Cochin Forest Steakhouse. Alrighty, so Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, when we went to break, we had just been talking about the bye week stuff, and you made a very good point for what Auburn should focus on coming into this bye, and that is, look, man, we're coming off of 3 straight losses here. The team's looking better, but it was nonetheless a convincing loss to a rival. Why not just let some of these younger guys get some experience and show maybe what this team can build up into as the next 1 or 2 seasons comes along? I agree with that 100%. some of the things that I had mentioned here on my own end was red zone offense has to be worked on. I mean, I'm acting like we're going to be playing a scrimmage game every day here until Mizzou comes along. But red zone offense, we talked about the kicking. You know, it was decent. But when they're chip shot field goals, they're supposed to be. And you shouldn't be settling for chip shot field goals against a big dog Georgia team. Kicking consistency, once again, that's just something that's something Towns should be working on in his own time. And then it wouldn't hurt to double, triple down on ball control. That's just some of the other stuff I had just listed here, just some things to touch on. But it looks like Auburn is well on their way to figuring all that stuff out. All right.
They've identified the things that they needed to improve on, and they're making the improvements. It's coming in small increments. I'd like to see it happen a lot faster and in bigger moments. But it's still an improvement, especially cleaning up the bad mistakes, the turnovers and the really costly penalties, the ones that set you back into long third down situations.
Right.
That was very rewarding to see that they had cleaned a lot of that up out of the game.
No, I'm right there with you. And something else I want to focus on here before we look just ahead a little bit to Mizzou is, since there's no Auburn football this weekend, that doesn't mean that there's nothing going on in Auburn sports, and that includes around here locally. We've got we've been talking about it a lot. If you've been listening to any of our sister stations, like on News Radio 92.3, we'll mention this exhibition baseball game between FSU and Auburn, and it's happening this weekend. Yes.
Yep.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, to start off with, a lot of the activities that are going to be surrounding this baseball game can be found through the outlets of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club. You can Google it. We do have a Facebook page for the club. It's the local alumni association. You do not have to be an alum to be a part of the organization and come participate in the activities. But it is a great place to go look and see what's coming. We have all the information about our football watch parties, all our information about our social events. One of the biggest ones for us this year, obviously, is this exhibition game. We're going to start it off tomorrow at Laguna's on Pensacola Beach from 5:30 to 8:30. We're going to have a kind of a meet and greet with the baseball team. They'll be there. There'll be some specials as far as, you know, the zip lining kind of stuff. So if you want to come just hang out, just come and hang out. If you want to come and partake of the things that are available there, that's fine too. But we're taking the opportunity to let the local fan base come out and actually interact with the baseball team.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow from 5:30 to 8:30. And then we're going to do a Tiger Walk. You not being an Auburn fan, I had to explain to you what that was. But anybody that is an Auburn fan.
Wake Forest does something similar.
Yeah, anybody that is an Auburn fan knows what a Tiger Walk is. And it will be at 700 East Chase Street at 8:45 on Saturday. So we're going to do our own version of a Tiger Walk here in Pensacola for the baseball team. And then game one starts at 12 p.m. on Saturday. And obviously game two will start, I think, like 40 minutes after the ending of game one. The tickets, the day they went on sale, in 24 hours they were sold out. So I'm not sure what the availability of maybe some standing room only stuff might be at Wahoo's. You would probably have to call them and ask. But we are going to do a tailgate in the parking lot. Hmm. So it's going to be a great time for the local fan base to come together, stand behind our baseball team with baseball season coming up. And we always have a pretty competitive baseball team.
Right.
And it'll be a fun day. The weather's supposed to be awesome. It's supposed to be like today.
Beautiful.
I think it actually might even be a little cooler on Saturday. I think the high's only supposed to be like 79. So it's going to be it'll be a nice day. Obviously, it'll for me, it's going to consume the whole day from 8:45 until the ending of the second game.
Two,
so
yeah.
I'll be wiped out by the time that day is over. But it's nice for us to fill the big empty space of a bye week here locally for our local fan base, because we get to see our own Auburn Tigers and we get to see them play Florida State. Obviously, it's a big deal for the Florida State folks too.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm sure their fan base is going to be there and doing their own tailgate, and it's going to be like a football type atmosphere at a baseball game.
And it's local.
Yeah. And
it's a short drive.
Yeah. And if you can't get in to see the game, you can still come out and participate in all the other things that around it.
You got festivities going on.
Absolutely. Now. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad the weather is going to hold out. I still feel bad for all our Central Florida brothers and sisters who are digging their way out of a tremendous storm the past couple of days. You almost feel guilty being grateful it didn't come here.
Yeah, well, I see, because we're talking about, it's not like, oh, yeah, we got some rainfall. No, we're having beautiful weather.
Yeah, we didn't even get a feeder band from it,
right.
which is kind of unusual for the size of the storm that it was. Uh-huh. But I really think, you know, it we'll take this little opportunity to just, you know, keep them in our thoughts and prayers because they're really needing it.
No, I agree with you 100%. Keep those people in your prayers because they are. I mean, back-to-back storms for some of them. Very, very hard hits there. And then, yeah, I mean, even if you're not an Auburn fan or a Florida State fan, you just so happen to be listening right now. Great weather in this area, and it should be one heck of a game. Two respectable baseball programs there. So, yeah, just wanted to give that opportunity for Bill to talk about that because I know he had something to talk about. And it's been hyped up a lot. And as I said before, I didn't want to dwell too much on Mizzou, but the time has come. We got to address the elephant in the room here. Mizzou, as a top 10 team, just got, as someone in the 1930s would say, mollywopped by Texas A&M. 41-10, I think it taught us two things. One is that they were not top 10 material. The other is that they're looking like a far more beatable opponent for Auburn, wouldn't you say?
They have vulnerabilities that were exposed by Texas A&M.
Yes.
Especially defensively, the way that Texas A&M offense picked apart that middle of their defense.
Yeah.
They went after the center. They didn't challenge the sidelines too much. They challenged them on the ground, and they challenged them right over the center of the field and scored a lot of points on them and did it very quickly.
Well, and I think something that's going to really, I mean, especially on Missouri's defensive side, something that's going to marauder them if Auburn can capitalize on it is the rushing attack. We talked about Jarquez Hunter, 91 rushing yards on 13 carries. He was averaging 7 yards a carry, had a touchdown last week, consistent scorer for Auburn. Meanwhile, Mizzou's out here, and their rushing defense was unwatchable. They gave up 236 yards and 5 touchdowns on the ground. At this point, I'm thinking I could score on it. So you put Jarquez Hunter there, Mizzou's going to have a big problem on their hands. Meanwhile, their own rushing attack was completely dormant. They got 68 yards on 30 carries. So they are, and Auburn being a defensive-minded team, they're looking like an easy team to stop on the rushing end for the Tigers here. I'm talking about the blue and orange ones. This is looking like a – I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, easy win. No, you're coming off a bye, but you're going on the road. They're still ranked. But, man, Missouri was really disappointing last week. Auburn can definitely take advantage here.
This looks like an opportunistic type football game
to get your season back on track.
And that's the reason I'm saying coach up the young kids, get them ready, throw the kitchen sink out there. There's nothing to lose, and this is the team that you can make that kind of leap with,
right?
Based on the performance that they had last week.
No, I think that's just undeniable. I mean, I'm not trying to rag on Mizzou here. It's just Auburn, with what we've seen from this team, even in some of their losses, they certainly have the capability to kick Mizzou while they're down. Mizzou goes to UMass this week, so maybe Mizzou will get an emotional boost up before the game, but we'll touch more on that later. Since we've got just a few minutes to talk about a little bit more here, I wanted to get just some basic thoughts on some of the trending stories surrounding the SEC. So we saw the Missouri-Texas A&M massacre. We have to talk about Alabama losing to Vandy, giving up 40 points. First time losing to Vandy in 40 years. what were your thoughts when that happened?
Well, we've seen that quarterback before at Auburn when he was at New Mexico State.
Yes, Diego Pavia.
So we knew what he was capable of doing.
Wasn't a schmuck.
He's not a flash in the pan. He's a real dual threat quarterback. And they brought their A game, and Alabama did not.
Right.
And they put on a show. It was it was quite a game to watch. It was much more entertaining than watching that Alabama-Georgia game.
Oh, yes, I believe so.
Yeah, it's just, hey, I think Alabama was maybe started off kind of looking past Vandy.
Yeah.
And Vandy took advantage of that, brought their A game, and punched them in the mouth. And that's what they did.
Yeah, you and I, we were talking about it, and this has been the obvious consensus. Saban wouldn't have lost that game because Saban didn't overlook anybody. And Saban, he rarely, if ever, overlooked a 28-0 lead. There were times where he would blow leads, happened against Auburn in 2010. But that's a testament to just how great Auburn is. When you're blowing a 28-0 lead at home against a rival that you have consistently owned, in this case Georgia, in recent memory, that, you know, we can give Georgia credit, but then you trip over Vandy the next week and it's like, okay, how much of it was Georgia being great and how much of it was you just going into autopilot? Saban would never do that. He always treated every team the same, regardless of score, location, quality of opponent, anything. That people were wondering, how's Bama going to look now that Saban's gone? That. There's no game that's truly unlosable now, I feel.
I agree with that, and this game exposed it.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun watching the videos after the game of all the kids carrying the goalpost all the way to the river. You know, they got a lifetime moment out of that game. That was their Super Bowl.
That it is, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people say that as an insult, but this truly was a huge moment for Vandy football. It's not insulting to say that. It's just the facts. Some of these programs are higher on the food chain than others. Vandy has been a consistent bottom dweller in the SEC. So this is – they had never beaten a top five team before. They just beat a top-ranked one. This is huge.
They marked this game on their calendar long before the football season ever started.
Yeah, because they don't play Bama every year. And Bama coming to Nashville, and then you had what Saban said about, oh, well, it's, you know, it's not too hard to go into Vandy and win. It's like, yeah, they gave them rat poison, ironically enough. And then lastly here very quickly, Tennessee getting stumped at Arkansas. I think that makes Auburn, their loss to Arkansas, look a little bit better because Auburn could have won that game. How much of a bearing do you think that holds on Tennessee?
That's going to make them really, really angry this week.
Against Florida.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just if you're a Florida fan and you just so happen to be listening, first of all, happy to have you. Second of all, yeah, we're going to touch more on your game after the break, and there's a lot to dig into there. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and of course brought to you by Coach and Ford Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Ford Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Ford Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
People just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check the propane tank on your grill first before hosting a tailgate.
Let's fire up.
Here, let me try.
Seriously, you didn't check the propane?
Who wants chips?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Salt and vinegar.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
Health and Hope Clinic provides free health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community.
They provide free, primary, preventative, specialty care, dental, and pharmacy assistance with the help of our 330 volunteer doctors, dentists, and nurses. If you or someone you know are looking for medical assistance, please visit healthandhopeclinic.org or call 850-479-4456. Health and Hope Clinic's mission is to provide health and hope to the hurting and underserved.
The Escambia County Healthy Start Coalition is a local nonprofit that directly serves new or pregnant moms and their babies by providing education, support, and interventions to those who are at risk of a poor birth outcome or delay in development. Our fatherhood program, Team Dad, is a free mentorship program that helps develop relationship skills, finance, and overall personal development to help fathers be the best dad they can be for their families. To learn more, visit healthystart.info.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us through 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and, of course, our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And this show is brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse. Speaking of which, Bill, you've got some details on a special that they're putting up, right?
Yeah, they're Coaching Four. You saddle up to the bar, get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. And make sure you mention that you heard about it right here on ESPN Radio.
Yes, absolutely. Let them know that we sent you. And you know what? Even if we didn't send you, you can lie. Let them know that we sent you anyway. All righty. We were talking about a couple of these games coming up, so, you know, in and around the SEC. And, I mean, I'm not saying this as if it's like some huge shock. It just so happens that some of the biggest games nationally as far as the rankings are in the SEC this week. We've got a few teams on byes. Auburn, obviously. Arkansas, TAMU, after their wins, well-deserved. But just looking at some of the other games here, some of them are smaller, such as Alabama, South Carolina. Does Lightning strike twice? Does Alabama lose this game too?
Not with it being a home game at Alabama. And Alabama is going to be really angry.
Well, and I think South Carolina was pretty disappointed. 27-3 against Ole Miss. That's a tough gig. And that was at home. That was supposed to be some upset alert, and they got shut down. I jotted down a score prediction for this one. I got Bama winning 40-10. That would have them covering the spread. Spread's currently Alabama minus 21. I'm taking that spread easily. Alabama's going to commit a crime against South Carolina this weekend.
It's going to be an old-fashioned take them out behind the barn woodshed kind of opportunity for Alabama. They're going to
put
they're
them gonna
down. Pin, they're going to pin their ears back, and their hair is going to be on fire, and they're I just don't see South Carolina having an opportunity to keep this game close at all.
Yeah, it really, if you can't see through all the imagery that we're putting up, yes, Bama's going to win that game convincingly. Missouri, we mentioned this one earlier, they go to UMass. I told you, the most interesting thing about this game is that it's at UMass. That kind of puzzled a lot of people. You wouldn't expect an SEC team to go to where, what, I think the official stadium capacity is give or take 17,000 people. But, hey, you know, whatever. I think it's cool to see an SEC team travel there. So, Massachusetts is 1-5 on the season. Do you think they bring the house down on the Tigers?
Not a chance.
Tigers are favored by 27.5. I think it would be awfully funny. It would give us something funny to talk about next week if UMass won this game, or if Mizzou even struggled in it. But I'm right there with you, Bill. I just don't see that happening.
I would prefer to see Missouri cover the spread. That way they don't come in to the Auburn game angry.
Hungry. looking for blood. All right, here's one of those big games in the SEC that I was talking about, even though it may sound Twilight Zone-ish to say that it's an SEC game now. The Red River Rivalry. Texas, of course, took the number one spot back from Alabama. Oop, hit my mic. Sorry about that. Texas took the number one spot from Alabama after last weekend, of course, retook it. And now they take on number 18, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, they used to be all offense. Now they're all defense. Can that contain Texas at all, or do you have Texas winning this one easy?
I don't think this is going to be an easy win for Texas because it's at Oklahoma.
Well, it's in Dallas, the Cotton Bowl.
Well, they're technically the home team. But yeah. And both teams travel well.
Right.
It'll be a close game, but I still see Texas winning it.
Well, do you mean within 14 and a half points close? Because that's the spread.
I believe it'll be much closer than that. It'll probably be somewhere between 7 and 3 points.
Wow. I got Texas. I got Texas winning this game by more than that. I got to be in like a 34-16. I'll bring it down to 31-16 if you want me to.
Well, you think about it, for those two teams, this is their equivalent to the Auburn-Alabama game.
Right.
They're going to bring their A game. Their fan base is going to be amped up as high as they can go. They're all going to throw the kitchen sink, to say, out there, both sides.
No, I agree with you. And Oklahoma, Texas was the better team last year. Texas went to the playoff, for crying out loud. They beat Bama on the road by 10 points. That didn't stop them from losing to Oklahoma. So, no, Oklahoma has had the heavy hand in this rivalry for years now, and last year was no exception. So, yeah, Texas can't overlook them. I don't think they will. But, I mean, this can be a tough game. I just think Texas will pull away. Mississippi State at Georgia. I think you and I are going to agree more on this one. Georgia currently favored by 33.5. I, for one, would just like to put this out there. I would have no problem with seeing Mississippi State succeed as a program. I don't think, unless you're a Rebels fan, I don't think most people would have a problem with that. But we're not going to see that success in Athens this week.
I agree. The spread is 33.5?
33.5. You think Georgia covers?
I think Georgia covers.
Gosh. I mean, they could.
The way their offense played the fourth quarter in the Auburn game.
Yeah.
If they play like that all four quarters, they're gonna score 14 points in each quarter on Mississippi State.
Well, in Mississippi State, yeah, their defense ain't even as good as Auburn. So if you can hit that score on the Tigers, and now Mississippi State is a team that we've seen them give up over 40 to Toledo, to Florida, man, and they're going to Athens. Yeah, no, that's gonna be tough for sure. I think the only thing that's gonna keep this spread from not going overwhelmingly in Georgia's favor is if Mississippi State can put up any points, and we'll see how that turns out. All right, Florida at Tennessee. Now, this is a very conflicting game. This is a very controversial game. Tennessee is at home. They're coming off a tough loss. This is a tough rivalry for them. Florida riding high a little bit. They've got back-to-back wins. They beat Mississippi State convincingly, beat UCF convincingly. Is Florida's newfound adrenaline all for naught, or can they stump the Vols in Neyland Stadium?
Florida has put the wheels back on the wagon, so to speak, gotten their game and their program back on track, and they are making improvements. Tennessee is pretty angry right now, and it's a home game for Tennessee, so I just don't see – I see Florida keeping it competitive maybe through the first three quarters, but I think Tennessee's going to pull away at the end.
I could see that definitely happening. I got it being a three-score game. 38-20 is the score I jotted down. Tennessee, I think, and I told you this during break, Bill, I think Tennessee is in a position where it's like Florida would have been better off if Tennessee had beaten Arkansas, because Tennessee would have been perfect still, and they would have been rolling in here thinking, it's Florida, who cares? Now they know not to overlook anyone. They learned their lesson against Arkansas. They've been humbled. They're locked in. They're back home trying to send a message, remind everyone, hey, we're still here. And Florida just so happens to be on the losing end of that. So I agree with you. I think Tennessee losing to Arkansas kind of did the Gators a disservice here. I got Tennessee winning that one pretty convincingly. Here's another huge one. Number 9 Ole Miss at number 13 LSU. I'm going to tell on myself here. I don't know much about LSU. They're just a team that's just kind of floated around, you know. It's like when a fly is in your house and it lands on the wall and it's out of reach so you can't get it, but you see that it's there. That's LSU. They host Ole Miss. Ole Miss got humbled by Kentucky recently, but they bounced back with a big win over South Carolina. Can Ole Miss go into Death Valley and get this done?
I don't believe so. Death Valley, LSU is such a hard place to go play.
It is.
On the road. I don't care what kind of football team you have and what kind of football team they have. Their fans come out. Some of the best tailgates I've ever been to have been at LSU games, because their fans know how to prepare for a football game, and they know how to have fun. But they also know how to root and make that place enormously loud and very much a distraction for the visiting team. So Ole Miss is playing well. LSU is going to play at a higher level just because it's a home game.
So are you saying you think Ole Miss would win this if it were in Oxford?
It would be more in their favor. Yeah, maybe a three. I could see them winning by three at home against LSU, but on the road at LSU, I think LSU's probably going to win by 10 to 14 points.
Wow. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Ole Miss currently favored by 3.5. I've got them winning a close one. Not quite that close. I've got it being 30 to 24. But Ole Miss can certainly lose this game. Let the record show I'm not confident in that at all with my pick there. And then this game, my goodness, this just might be game of the century, and we don't even know it. Vanderbilt goes to Kentucky. Vanderbilt just had the biggest win of their lives. Kentucky just beat Ole Miss in Oxford a couple weeks ago. Now Vandy goes to Kroger Field. 2 years ago, if you told me this game was going to be worth a hoot, I would have thought you were talking about basketball or baseball. But we're talking about football here. Who do you got?
I have Kentucky, mainly because it is at Kentucky. It's a home game. I think Vanderbilt burned all the gasoline in their tank last week. And only because they knew it was, for them, it was a marquee game. And they're coming off such a high. I just don't know how well prepared they're going to be for this game because Kentucky has a great defense.
Right.
We saw that in the Kentucky-Georgia game. Kentucky's going to take advantage of the home field and the home crowd. Vanderbilt has proven that they're capable of playing good football, like we said with that quarterback, the dual threat quarterback.
Yep.
I see them scoring points. I see it being a close game.
The spread doesn't.
Maybe very similar to the Kentucky-Georgia game, something like 21-17.
Okay. Well, I said spread is really giving Kroger Field the edge here. Kentucky favored by 13.5. They got Kentucky winning by a couple scores.
I don't know. Vandy's riding pretty high. It depends on how much gasoline they were able to put back in their tank.
Yeah, if hangover games are a real thing, Vandy's got alcohol poisoning here. Because it was. It was such a huge win for Vanderbilt. And that's not a knock on them. It's just that we saw how Vanderbilt, more than anybody, should know what a hangover win feels like because they just stunned Bama after Bama beat Georgia. So you can't overlook Kentucky or you can't think, oh, yeah, now we're for real. We're going in there. We're going to decimate. No, you cannot make that assumption. So I did have Kentucky winning this game. I'm with you, though. It's probably going to be closer than 14 points. So I don't know if I agree
with that. If Vanderbilt, like I said, if they can refill their gas tank and play the same type of ball game they played against Alabama, the poised, mistake-free type football, they have a chance in this game.
For sure. 10:50. We'll take one last quick break. When we return, we got just a couple more of these big national games swirling around. Even got some upset alerts. Penn State. We got details on that coming up. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Are you ready to unleash the beast? Monster Energy is here to give you the edge this college tailgate season. Loaded with bold flavors, our powerful blend gives you the energy you need to push you beyond your limits. Tune in all season long with Monster, the energy drink of ESPN Radio College Football Tour. Power your performance with a drink that's as hungry for victory as you are. Crack open an ice-cold Monster and dominate your competition. Monster Energy. Unleash the beast. Grab yours today.
Escape to the Pony Gentlemen's Club at 500 East Gregory Street, featuring entertainer Char Zane, aerial superstar, October 17th through 19th. And then, on Halloween night, you won't want to miss the Freaks and Fairies Ball. Enjoy extended happy hour and enticing drink specials from noon to 7, Monday through Saturday. Doors open at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Show a local event ticket for complimentary entry and savor exclusive signature cocktails. Elevate your night, where sophistication meets indulgence. The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
My grades were bad. I would like get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of.
It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go just stop by Ms. Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
When you enter the world of autism, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed and alone. That's where Autism Pensacola comes in. We guide you through the maze of resources available to families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We also offer programs like Kids for Camp, Sensory Street, Project Lifesaver, and opportunities for support and socializing. Call us at 850-434-7171 or visit autismpensacola.org. We're here for you so you will never feel alone again.
Washington High, Pine Forest High. It's the ESPN High School Game of the Week on ESPN Pensacola. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., the Booker T. Washington High Wildcats clash with the Pine Forest High Eagles. Catch every pass, every play right here. ESPN Pensacola.
Paul Feinbaum, on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show, 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coachin' Forest Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark in here with you as always. Bill, we were looking at some of these games that are swirling around nationally, and of course some of them just so happen to be SEC games, but some of these others are not bad at all. We'll start with arguably biggest game of the week outside of maybe the Red River rivalry, and that's Ohio State number 2. Traveling to number 3, Oregon. Oregon is a home dog. Ohio State is favored by 3. What do you think?
I think Oregon wins this game, and I see them winning this game by 10 to 14 points.
You got Oregon as a double-digit favorite. Wow,
I do.
Really?
They're faster. Athletically, I think it's a good matchup between the two teams, but I think the skill players at Oregon are faster, and this is the game where they're going to make a statement nationally and say, we are for real.
Well, I agree.
And this is the perfect game for them to do it, especially since it's a home game.
I was about to say, I agree. This is their time to do it for sure. My only problem is after four quarters, Ohio State has decimated everybody they've played. And while they haven't played anyone of merit, at least they're beating them like they should. You can't say that about Oregon, at least not early. What's their best win? Tie-breaking field goal as time expired over Boise State? Come on. And that was in Autzen Stadium as well, I think. So I'm not sold on that. I got Ohio State 37-27 is the score I put down here. Another one that I wanted to touch on is Kansas State. They travel to Colorado. Now, I know a lot of people hate to talk about Colorado, but they're at home. They're hosting number 18. Both teams are 4-1. And Colorado's got a good offense. They can keep up with K-State. K-State favored by 3.5. You think Coach Prime and Co. gets it done?
I believe so. I've mentioned in the past couple of weeks when we've talked about games that involve K-State, every time that we that I took K-State, it was when they were at home, and they play well at home. This being a road game at Colorado, and Colorado having Sanders as the quarterback, other skilled players around him,
yeah,
and they are having a good season. This is the season that last season was supposed to be. So I see them winning this game.
Yeah, I got the Buffs in a close game, but high scoring, 37-31. You highlighted this one when we were looking over these during break. Stanford travels to Notre Dame. You got this being a big game for Stanford potentially.
This is my upset game.
Wow. Well, and I'm not going to join you in that corner. Stanford's 2-3. They travel to Notre Dame. I know Notre Dame's probably not as good as the number 11 next to their name implies, but they are nonetheless favored in this one at home by 23 points. So I got to take Notre Dame there. I don't have a score prediction for it, but I'm assuming the Irish will win. So we'll regroup on that one next week. Number 4, Penn State. Here's an upset alert for me. Going to USC. USC just got upset themselves. Penn State is largely unproven. They're traveling across the country to take on the Trojans.
I like Penn State. I'm just not sold on the Trojans being that good.
I think they're pretty flawed themselves. But I don't know. I mean, Penn State's only favored by 4, so they got to be in a close one no matter what. We'll touch on this one just because you convinced me. Number 10, Clemson travels to Wake Forest. We haven't beaten Clemson since 2008. We've never beaten Dabo Sweeney. Clemson is favored by 20. What do you think? Quick hitter.
I think Clemson's going to win the game, but I don't think they're going to cover the spread.
You think that's going to be decided within 20? I mean, we've given them a scare these past couple years, but our defense is pretty terrible.
But Wake Forest has a outstanding fan base, and they get up for their game. I like the home field advantage almost all the time.
I appreciate that. And then here's another upset alert that I had in mind. Number 11, Iowa State. They're tied with Notre Dame, apparently. They go to West Virginia. West Virginia's got back-to-back wins, and it's Morgantown at night. That's a tough place to play. You want to talk about home field advantage. Iowa State hasn't proven much.
I just said it. I like the home field advantage.
Yeah.
I like this game. I like it for West Virginia.
Yeah, Iowa State is favored by a field goal. The problem is you look at some of these teams, and what are their claims to fame? I mean, Iowa State, they beat – who was it? Iowa, barely. And they had to come back to barely win that game. Iowa's not even ranked anymore. So it's tough. I'd say Iowa State's kind of in some trouble here. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and through your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, it is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.